Okay, please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So we talked about Epiphany. Epiphany as being the manifestation of something, a moment of sudden revelation or insight, that aha moment, you know, kind of like when the light bulb goes off in your head, as if you're seeing something for the first time, or as if you finally get it. You finally get it. So when I was a kid, I remember that aha moment when I figured out that my parents had first names. Do you remember? I mean, it was like, no, your name's Mommy. It's not Elsie. You know, no, your name's Daddy. It's not Jean. Right? Or how about that time that it clicks in that the guy that you've been calling uncle is your father's brother? Like, oh, like I have brothers? That's your brother? You know that aha. I remember in second grade I was struggling with math. I was like, oh. And then finally, I don't know what it was, but it clicked. And I was like, I get it. And you know when a teacher can see that a student gets it, you know, and they, this smile comes in. I was like, from that point on, I had no issues with math. It's something sometimes that you just remember, that aha moment. And you question, why the heck didn't I see this before? So in the church, that time is called Epiphany, where God in Jesus is made known to the world. And it's interesting because the ones that make God in Jesus known to the world are the last people you would expect. You would think the ones that are in and around, the Jewish people, would see it for themselves, but they don't. It's the Magi. These are what would be considered to be Persian priests. They're the ones. They're the stargazers. I'm not even going to say what they're called because I can never pronounce it. Zoologists or whatever. I can never pronounce that word. But they're the ones who notice. Because previously, a prophet or a magus, and it was Balaam, had made the prophecy that the star will come out of David. And in that, and that's in the Old Testament in Numbers. So we don't hear that a lot. Who actually made that prediction was one of their own. Amazing that God can speak through anyone God chooses to speak through. And so when that star rose, they recognized it. They knew it. And they were drawn to it. How is it that these non-Jewish magi were the ones that could see it? But the scribes, the ones that should have seen it, didn't see it. Or maybe couldn't see it. You see, the scribes at that time, these are the scholars. They are really well-versed in the Torah, in the law. They are actually considered lawyers. They know, they interpret the law all the time. They should have seen it. They didn't. Until these men came to Herod. And when they were asked by Herod, what the heck are these three talking about? These three. We don't know that it was three. We assume it was three. Bible never says. That they tell Herod. And that's it. They don't do anything else. They just tell Herod what Scripture has said. We may question how they couldn't see it. But we may also ask ourselves, how is it that at times we don't see things? You know, it's real easy when you go from a light room into darkness. You know it's dark. You know you can't see. Sometimes Carl retires into the bedroom earlier than I do. I tend to stay up. I'll watch television. I'll crochet. I'll read. And so Carl's in a dark room and I'm in a light room. And so when I go into bed, I shut off all the lights, I go in, and you know when you're that momentary, you step in and you're like, I can't see anything. I mean, I know where everything is. It's not like I don't know. And your brain sort of fills in what you don't see. Your brain is very familiar with the room, so your brain knows, but you're still groping. And if I just stand there for a couple of seconds, what happens? Your eyes become accustomed to the light because the darkness, sorry, because there is some form of light around that you start to kind of see shadows, right? But you definitely know that you stepped from light into dark. How about those times when we don't realize that we've stepped from light into dark? I'm a reader. I love to read. And I like to read outside. And, you know, the evening, the dusk time, like as the sun is setting, that's probably one of my favorite times during the day. Carl is totally a morning person. I'm totally a, you know, sunset person. And so we live in a front porch community, and so I like to sit out on the porch and start reading. And I have this favorite little chair, and I don't put the porch lights on or anything because it's still light out. And so I'll be reading, and gradually, I might be holding the book out here, then the book starts to go like this, then the book starts to go like this, you know, because the sun is setting, and I'm not paying any attention to the fact that gradually it's getting darker. And then the book comes here, and then the glasses come off, I'm nearsighted, and the book comes here, and then I can't even see there, and I'm like, oh, I'm going like this, because there's a street light right there, so I'm kind of going like this, I'm going like this, and I have no idea that it is dark outside now, because it was such a gradual thing, and I'm just kind of moving with how it's going, right? Carl comes right outside, and he said, how can you read out here? I said, I can't. Because he's really saying, how can you see out here? And I look at him, I'm like, I can't. He's like, then why are you still out here? And you know what my answer is? Because I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable. I can adjust, even though I'm struggling. I can adjust to the surroundings I'm now in. Maybe that's what happened to these scribes. You know, under the darkness, and I do believe maybe it was gradual, of Herod's kingship all around them, because Herod was not a good king of the Jews. Perhaps they didn't realize it, and they adjusted, and perhaps the same thing happened to them, that they got comfortable. And perhaps the same thing happens to us with our thoughts and our behavior. Perhaps we are slowly conforming to the ways of this world because we don't realize that it's getting darker and darker and darker. And that we blindly agree to things or ideas that go against who we are and what we stand for: love, compassion, forgiveness, and peace. You see, these foreigners are the ones who are drawn to the light, the true light. The Jewish leaders were not. In fact, the Jewish leader, Herod, wanted to kill the light, the threat that had come into the world, the truth, God incarnate. But we know from John's gospel that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. Perhaps we need our epiphany moment again, our aha moment, that moment when we realize that Christ is the source of our life. When the Magi finally see the Messiah, the child, Jesus, they drop to their knees and they worship the baby. As I look over at the baby, they worship the baby. They saw in this child the source of light. They saw in this child God incarnate, the source of life. They saw the creator of the world wrapped in flesh. These foreigners saw and understand. And I believe that their faith glowed from it. So here's my question for you. How might we, again, see the glory of God in the other, in this world? How will we respond if someone who loves us is brave enough to say to us, how can you see in the darkness? My hope is that we are brave enough to say, I can't. I can't see. The problem is, I just got too comfortable. May you be drawn out of your comfort and into the light of Christ. May you be drawn into the light of the world. May you be drawn for the light of the world. Amen. Amen.